Hello and welcome. You are listening to the God and Mental Health Podcast. I am your host, Raza Renee, and welcome to another episode of the show. Hey sis, I'm so excited to be back in front of the microphone with you this week. I have so much to talk to you about, and I'm really excited about the things that I'm going to share in this episode. It is halfway through Mental Health Awareness Month, and I really wanted to get an episode out to you this month to just talk a little bit about mental health and mental health awareness. And so we are going to be going through a series around the common misconceptions of seeking help as a believer and really kind of getting into some of the things that I often see in clients and some of the words that I hear when it comes to talking a little bit about seeking help as a believer. And I believe that there is often this misconception around seeking help now because it is so much more open, accepted, talked about more. But that doesn't mean that it's not still challenging for people who are wanting to seek help to seek help. I also think that it can become very discouraging in the process of seeking out a therapist and finding one that's the best fit for you, which kind of also plays into this feeling of, will I ever find someone that's right for me? Or maybe I shouldn't do this, or maybe it's not the right time. Just we talk ourselves out, or I won't even say self-sabotage. We just talk ourselves out of things when it becomes a challenge, especially when it comes to something that should be easy to do. Like you can look up a PCP or a dentist on Google, but with therapy, you have to do a little bit more things and open up a little bit more to find the right fit. And so I really wanted to talk about some of the common things that I see with believers, clients that I have served, and also things that I have thought might keep people from wanting to seek counseling. And so we're going to talk about that in this series. So I want to go through the list that I created for you all. And then over the next couple of episodes, I'm going to kind of go through them in detail, talking a little bit about how they come up, what these misconceptions look like, and why they can be, you know, barriers to you actually seeking out help for yourself. So one of them, I'm going to go through the list, but one of the first ones is stigma. And we talk about mental health and the stigma around mental health, but I really want to go into detail about this for you as a believer. But stigma really addresses the fear of being judged or labeled. The second reason or second misconception we don't seek out counseling is just really, what does God believe about it? What does God believe about me for going out to seek help and why this matters? Number three, you don't have to know everything at the time you go. So I'm really excited to talk about that. Number four, denial is real and addressing the truth is painful. I really can't wait to get into that one with you. Number five, isolation can often make us think that people are not helpful for us. Number six, we feel ashamed for needing help, especially if we've been conditioned to think that we don't need it. Number seven, feelings aren't a part of the process and feeling them doesn't matter. I often hear clients say, what's the point of me feeling my feelings if nothing's going to change? And so I really want to talk about this. Number eight or number seven, I don't even know what number I'm on now, girl. But sometimes feeling comfortable with change does take time, especially if you're addressing all the factors of change. And so I'm going to go through these. I wanted to list them out for you. And then I'm also going to talk a little bit about the other factors that play into accessing mental health services, and that's around costs, access to someone, whether you're virtual, in person, insurance, and needing to potentially go to a couple therapists to find the right fit for you. I will talk about that particular part at the end of this episode, but I wanted to at least let you know what's on the horizon for this series. So before we get into the first point, let's take a break to hear from one of our sponsors. Okay, sis. And bros, because I heard that men listen to this podcast. And so I want to at least address my brothers in the building and say, hey. So the first one, and I'm going to also share some of the things that I've experienced personally from my mental health journey, but I'm really going to kind of focus it more on a holistic side for you to really kind of help share what I have seen from clients. For those of you that don't know, I am a mental health therapist. I am a licensed LCSW, licensed clinical social worker, and I work primarily with adults who are experiencing any type of mental health concerns. I don't deal with crisis, so I don't deal with people who might be suicidal or might be experiencing some form of crisis. But I do work a lot with clients who are experiencing a ton of different mental health concerns, from depression, anxiety, OCD, grief, feeling as though they just really want to work on their self-esteem, feeling like they have things going on with their job, family, struggles with divorce, parenting. I deal with a lot of just basic feelings identification. I deal with some PTSD, so it's any type of abuse. I've also dealt with some spiritual trauma with clients. I work with a lot of people who are struggling in transitions. I work with a lot of people who are just trying to have someone they can talk through a lot of different changes in their lives. Single parents, single women, married women. I work with couples. I work with couples who aren't married and couples who are married. So I work with a lot of people, Black, white, all different types of nationalities, old and young. One of my oldest clients is like in her 60s. One of my youngest clients is 14. And so, and I say I work with a vast majority of people, I really mean that. And so I get to see a lot of the different things that people come in with when it comes to their feelings around mental health, their experiences around mental health, because a lot of people have had more experiences now. And I thought about this episode when it comes to seeking out mental health counseling as a believer, because I do feel like even though we're talking a lot more about it, it's still very new. It's still in its infancy, I feel like, being discussed in the faith spaces. And there are a lot of people now who are really being talked about, you know, some amazing, amazing people who have been in the space professionally who are now sharing a lot of things around the faith, myself included. And what we see a lot of times is still this fear. And so I really want to get into the stigma around mental health, because I believe as a believer, we still feel eerie about it. We still have a lot of fear, and there's a lot of still misinformation that is given from faith spaces around just the practical part of who we are as people needing support. And so there's just a lot of fear. And so with stigma, I really want to address that, you know, we fear a lot of times and we don't seek out help around this fear of being judged, whether it be fear of being judged by people or being judged by God. And I really want to approach this with compassion and curiosity with you of why do we feel like we are being judged so harshly for needing help in a time in our lives, in the season of our lives. And so we also feel like there is this, or I can tell that there is this misconception around being labeled. Me being labeled as crazy or me going to seek counseling means I'm not handling things well or that I'm not strong enough. I see that a lot with a lot of people. There is this hyper independent feeling of wanting to be seen as doing well or strong. And sis, you don't have to be strong. Like, you really don't. And so as we're talking about stigma, I really want to go into this idea that we are addressing mental health holistically. If we think about who we are mind, body, and spirit. We have a Holy Spirit, we have a mind, and we have a body. And so it is very important that we really look at the holistic part of who we are. If you were to go to the doctor, you go to the doctor to handle your body, things that are wrong with your body. If you broke your arm, you're going to go to the doctor and get a cast. You're going to go to the doctor and get a boot if you have to. If you need your spiritual health taken care of, you go to church. You may have a spiritual practice. You have spiritual practices. In our belief, in our Christian belief, we have spiritual practices. We pray. We worship. We take time for devotion. We take time for fellowship together. We have spiritual practices. But then when it comes to our minds, we don't really look at that as something that needs to be, quote unquote, taken care of. We look at that as something that's kind of maintained within all of that. And because there is probably not a lot of information There is a lot of fear-based information out there. And there is a lot of people who really, I won't say aren't educated, but we have not given a lot of information around these topics out so much as we have. Like, if you have a headache, you know, okay, I need to probably take some headache medicine. That is so easy for us to think about, because it is very common for us to hear, hey, if you're in pain, take some medicine. Or I'm also not saying just because you're struggling, you should go seek out mental health, like a psychiatrist. But I'm talking about the ease of just thinking through these things is just so simple. Whereas when it comes to talking about mental health, it's a little more complicated because we're piecing through a lot of information and a lot of new information. Some of these topics are within the last 30, 25 years of us addressing. And so when we're talking a little bit about as believers, I think we have to get down really granular of there's nothing wrong with you building a team. I remember when I had my son and I was pregnant, my first baby, I really wanted a team. I was considered a high-risk pregnancy. So I had two OBs. I had a fetal medicine doctor. I also had a regular OB. I hired a doula. And those were my team. I had three people I was going to see for this one child. And considering also now people just kind of go to an OB. They have one doctor. But in certain cases, you might need more support. For me, my doula helped so much with breastfeeding. She just helped me understand what birth looked like in a way that was explained very practically that I may not get with my OB because I was not seeing her on a consistent basis. It may be 6 weeks, maybe 1 month at a time. And so having conversations about birth and breastfeeding and preparing for a baby was so helpful for me because I could get it from a place where I knew I could get it consistent, someone that specialized in birthing. And I think about what that team did for me as a mom and going into postpartum, I feel more prepared. And so when I think about building a team, it could be your medical team. You may go to a doctor, a dentist, a dermatologist, someone that may help you with physical health. So you may go to a trainer. We have to think about that in the same context as mental health. There is nothing wrong with you building a team. And I say this for real, build a team holistically. If you need a psychiatrist, if you need a mental health clinician, if you need a life coach, get the help you need. We have to stop feeling as though because we need support, something's wrong with us, or that we're trying to do something to prove to God that we can handle it on our own. And baby, that's pride. And I'll get into what I feel like God feels like, but I really want to just label that we need to address this in a holistic way. And there's nothing wrong with you wanting help. Around this topic, when we're talking about, I believe, what God feels like, I really want to address that I think that God and other people aren't judging you for being help or needing help. But before we get into this, let's take a break really quick to hear from one of our sponsors.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Okay. And I'm going to kind of come from this from a personal standpoint because I feel like it's helpful. I have not felt more, how do I say this? I have in the last maybe 5-ish years, I've been married for about 6 years. going into 7 next year. I have not felt more solidified in my relationship with God when I have sought help, because it made me feel human and it made me realize that I really do want to be comforted by the Lord. And a lot of times God sent comfort to me by other people. And there was such a magnificent way that I was touched from my therapist and friendships and people that I shared with. I realized very early on that my personal thought of really what other people thought of me and what God thought of me was really a judgment case on myself. I felt like if I sought help, I wasn't a good enough Christian. I felt like I wasn't reading the Bible hard enough, or praying hard enough, or I wasn't studying long enough, and I needed to spend these exhausted amount of times to look through the Word to find all the answers. And it's like, I wanted God to help me, but I also was still so, I was approaching God with, "You're judging me already, so it doesn't matter, you know, what I do." And I think we have to really look at that in a different context, because especially when you start actually going to seek help and you see the difference it makes, you begin to look at how many things the enemy throws your way to try to pull you off your path. And I think that this idea that we are being judged, like we are under a microscope with people and God, is such a anxiety-provoking feeling. What it feels like to, what I tell clients all the time, I was like, what does it feel like in your body to feel judged? You feel this ugh feeling. And I think that when we look at God with the perception of judgment only, we don't get the opportunity to really truly see the eyesight of God is always coming from love. And if he wanted to just be so critical nature towards us, it would be so challenging for us to have a relationship with him. Like, you think about it, like, let's just think about it in a personal way. Let's say you have a friend who's your best friend, and every time they see you, they don't approach you with, "Hey girl, how you doing?" Or like, "Sis, you killing it." They're approaching you like, "Why you got that on? Oh my God, you look so crazy. What's going on with you? Why your hair look like that? Or why your shoes look like that? Or why you always got something to say?" And you would feel a negative energy and just a negative feeling from this person all the time. And so if we're approaching God with this space of, every time I come to you or every time I think about doing something new, you're going to judge me or say something that's going to be hurtful, we're not even getting to experience the fullness of him in a way that matters. And so I say this to say, because I think that we put a lot of emphasis on what God and other people think about us needing help. And also, God is making provisions. God creates provisions for us outside of, you know, maybe the normal context of what we do on a daily basis with church. We can get fullness and provision from these other places, people, etc. Probably talk about this in the next episode when I get into what God believes about you and what he believes about you matters around counselors. But there, I believe that counseling is a provision. I truly believe that it is our birthright to be well. It is our birthright to be working back to the place where we were created. And truly, we get to experience some of that with Jesus. We get to experience the freedom. We get to experience the fullness of God with Jesus. And I believe that it is appropriate and necessary for us to talk about and have help and support. We are relational people. God created us relationally. And so when I really talk to clients about the idea of when they isolate themselves, we are taking out a core part of our nature that was created to be. When we pull away or we isolate or we don't seek help, you can dwindle away. It's almost like, and this is apples to oranges, meaning they're completely different. If you leave a car and never drive it, leave it in your driveway, that junk gonna get dusty. It's going to get dirty on the inside. It's going to get dirty on the outside. The maintenance on this, like when we don't maintain stuff, when we isolate things, it will get dirty. And so I don't say that in the sense of like you being dirty, but I say that in the sense of the maintenance part, the actual addressing of things is necessary. And so I really want to drive home, God and other people aren't judging you for needing help. And this idea of self-reliance and feeling this over esteem that you feel like you have to depend on yourself only, you can't ask for help, is pride. Like at the core base of it is pride. At the core base of it is pride. And self-reliance and feeling like I can't ask people for help, that is a narrative that has been said to yourself consistently. And this narrative is playing itself out. And the reason why you can't get help is because you're not asking for it. And it's not that other people won't help you. It's you have created a narrative that asking for help is something I shouldn't do. And so why put yourself in a place where, or why would people help if you have created this narrative around I can't ask people for help? Then you're just going to be tired. Like, what is the cost of not asking for help? And so when I think about this fear and labeling, this fear and labeling is costing us way more than we think. It's rooted in pride. It's rooted in self-pity sometimes, because we can feel like no one wants to help me. No one's out here trying to make sure I'm okay. And that is just self-pity, because there are people who can actually do that for you. And so I'm going to probably stop the episode here and just go into some of the reasons why getting mental health access is helpful. And also it can be challenging. Like, I just really want to say that it can be challenging to find a therapist for multiple reasons. The first reason is cost. Now, I'm going to try to explain this very quickly. A lot of people have insurance and they can utilize their insurance for mental health access and services. But a lot of times, too, a lot of therapists require you to pay out of pocket for their services. Some therapists do not utilize insurance as their financial. A lot of therapists don't utilize insurance for services. And so cost can be a factor. And so with cost, there are a couple of resources out there that I will list in the show notes. The first one being, if you are an African-American woman, the Loveland Foundation is an option for mental health resources at a free cost. So you apply for this fund and you can get up to 12 sessions. That's about 4 months of services where you can actually see a therapist, and Loveland will pay the therapist $120 per session. And so that's a fund that's open quarterly that you can apply for and to be able to get access to services. There also is a wonderful nonprofit organization called Open Path Collective. I actually used this service when I first found my therapist that I was with for a long time, and it allows you to pay between $30 to $50 a session. So if cost per session is impactful to you, most therapists now charge around, I see anywhere from like $100 to like $150 per session, and that can get costly. And so Open Path Collective is a directory of therapists that you can reach out to for services where you can pay a lower cost. I paid $40 a session for my therapist for about three years for me to see her. So I'll list that resource for you in the show notes. There's also access. So if you are someone that may live in like a more rural area, access to actually see someone in person might be a distance, might be a drive. If you're someone that's in college and you live in a city that is a little bit smaller, if you're someone that's a busy mom, being someone that can actually access mental health services in person may come close to impossible. And so being able to access someone maybe virtually might be a best fit for you. If you are, and this is just for public information, let's say you live in the state of Georgia, you don't have to just see somebody in Atlanta. You can see somebody in Augusta, Georgia, that's licensed in Georgia, because the way therapist licensing works, we are licensed in the state we practice. So it's not just the city. So you don't have to see someone that is just in your city. You can see someone that's in the state. So I would say when you're looking up therapists, be open to looking up someone maybe in another city that you can access virtually. You may find that you may have someone that might be, let's say you live in Texas, you live in Houston, and you find a really or hear about a really good therapist in Dallas, you can still see that therapist. It just might be virtual if you can't go in person. So open your pool up of people that you can actually see. As long as they are within the state that you live, you can see them. If you have, like, for example, I get questions all the time about me and people wanting to see me for services. And I say, if you're in Tennessee or Arkansas, I can see you. But if you are outside of the state, I cannot see you. And that's just because I'm not licensed in that state, if that makes sense. Now for insurance, if you have insurance, you through your job, use it. Okay. A lot of jobs also provide EAP services, which is employee assistance programs, which basically means just go to your HR department and ask them, hey, do we pay for an employee assistance program? Typically, big corporations do. They either may have on-site therapists or they may have a company that they pay a third party through see people for EAP services. I have worked for EAP service for the last 2.5, almost 3 years while I was doing my private practice. And there were a lot of companies in the city that I live in where they access mental health services through this company. And so if cost is a thing, access is a thing, maybe you could utilize your EAP. Sometimes they will pay up to 6 sessions. And that can be just an introduction into counseling. You may not need long-term counseling. You may just need very quick, short-term counseling, and you can utilize EAP service. If your job doesn't provide EAP service and you have insurance, you can utilize your insurance. So Cigna, Aetna, Blue Cross Blue Shield, United, Ambetter, TRICARE. I think there's military services for Humana, like insurance for military service like Humana, Medicare, Medicaid. Medicaid is kind of usually like a state insurance. And so that may be a little bit getting you to like other things. But if you have a regular insurance that you used to go to the doctor, you can find a therapist and you can use your insurance. And the cost may look different based on if you have a different insurance plan, but that's always an option for you as well. The last thing I think is the most important thing is it may take you a little time, sis. So sometimes going and finding a therapist is kind of like dating. And I don't want to get into dating because I already know my clients probably like rolling their eyes when I talk to them about dating. But you may go through a couple people. Sometimes you have a unicorn where you just meet them the first time and they're perfect. And then there are sometimes you have to go through a couple of people. That is very normal. That is very normal. Don't let that be a barrier for you starting. Now, sometimes you may start, hit a couple walls, and you may take a break. There's nothing wrong with that too. But don't let it be a barrier. Okay. I may do an episode on how to look for a therapist. I may do that after this series, but I really wanted to just start this off around the common misconceptions. I hope and pray that your experience in finding someone and or if you are someone that has found someone that's good, scream their name to the mountaintops. I did that with my therapist and I'm like, girl, I will single-handedly keep you in business because I just really had such a great experience with her. And so I think that it is normal to go through a couple of people before you find the right fit and be okay with that. And sometimes, too, they may not necessarily bring up that they're Christian. So that's not also a thing that has to be a factor. You don't have to find someone that's Christian. It's helpful. But also, you can get a lot from a person that may not share their faith or may not be open about that as a therapist. You can get a lot from that person and just having an objective or very factual viewpoint. And so don't let that discourage you either. But yes, so we will talk about this more in the next coming episodes. I hope that this episode was helpful to you. If it was, share it with someone. And I think that this is going to be a great series. So I love you all so much. I cannot wait to talk to you again. And I hope that this episode blesses your life. And I pray that you continue to go through your mental health journey and know that it is okay. And I'll talk to you soon. All right, bye.